Today's guest is Jenny Bales, a leader in the Catholic homeschooling movement and a veteran home educator, here to share some practical tips on juggling language arts with joy.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and today I'm excited because our good friend Jenny Bales is back with us to talk about juggling language arts with joy. Jenny is a Catholic homeschooling mom who is passionate about connecting and supporting fellow Catholic homeschooling moms, both through her online ministry and in her local community. Her four incredibly unique kids, currently ages 10 to 21, have been or were homeschooled all of their lives. Her oldest two students have graduated and are thriving in the colleges they chose. Jenny loves sharing the beauty of integrating our Catholic faith with our homeschooling adventures and believes that every moment of homeschooling is a treasured opportunity to reach the hearts of our children for Christ. A few of her favorite things are Eucharistic adoration, chai lattes. Is my saying it right, Jenny? Or is it mm-hmm. chai? I never know. Sweet tea, dark chocolate, red wine, college football, and mystery novels. Don't you just love her? Before having kids, she taught secondary English language arts and worked in Catholic youth ministry. Now Jenny's Heart of a Mother online community has grown to over 5,500 Catholic homeschooling moms from all around the world. Her ministry offers many free resources at heartofamother.net and a homeschooling consulting service called Bloom, which includes the Sunroom, which is an intimate group consulting membership. And that's at Bloom, just how it sounds, B-L-O-O-M, homeschooling.com. It's so good to see you, Jenny. Welcome back.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here again.
Yeah, we just always have such a good conversation, Jenny, and I really appreciate it because you keep it real. Like, you work really, really hard, and we were just talking about how hard it can be just to kind of rest in the Lord. But that place of rest really is the place where our joy gets rebooted. And so if you wouldn't mind, just say just a word about that, about, you know, where you come into this understanding of joy. I know I'm throwing you a little bit of a curveball, and then we'll talk about language arts, because I think it's important. I think that the Lord brought that into our conversation for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's why I do what I do at Heart of a Mother. So I'm in my 17th year of homeschooling now, and I firmly believe that the key to succeeding at this, or to feeling like we can keep going at this really hard work that we do as homeschooling moms, is to rest in the Lord and to rely on His joy. Because it's not always fun. We can't rely on that. but to remember that the whole reason we're doing this is because God gave us these children to teach, these children to raise, and that our hearts, when they're centered in Christ, when they're centered in His love, will know better. We'll be able to make all the decisions we have to make, sort through all the needs of our children, you know, manage all the chaos with grace, with His grace, because it's the only way. Otherwise we can't do it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much. It's like tapping in. We're grafted onto this vine, right? He's the vine. We're the branches. Where does that joy come from? It comes from the vine. We got to pause. We got to graft on and try to stay there. So we're talking about language arts today, and you have a particular enthusiasm for language arts. Obviously, you have a lot of professional experience in this area, so you've got talents and natural, you know, kind of enthusiasm and understanding of it. Say a little bit about what is that place of excitement, enthusiasm for you?
So everybody has, as you mentioned, strengths and gifts, which come out, and we can find a lot of joy in those things, but they usually do have a root, right? They have to be nurtured. They have to be inspired. I think that I have to credit my love of language arts first with my mom, because she was an early educator, childhood education. And while she didn't teach me specifically, at home we were surrounded by books, and she knew that that was crucial for child development in the early years. We had a drawer full of blank books that she had just taken pieces of paper and used her sewing machine to bind them together and make a little book. And we could write, we were encouraged to write stories, to read stories, you know, when we were young children. So I think that she passed that on to me, that enthusiasm, because she knew how language is vital to child development, is vital to future success. And that, you know, she probably didn't know all the research that long-term academic success is rooted in that core. But as I grew older and I, of course, fell in love with reading and Nancy Drew and all those wonderful books and wrote my own things, I just really felt like English was my thing, which is why I majored in college. I didn't realize it at the time because I never thought I'd be homeschooling my kids. But one of my classes was a reading instruction class. I can't remember what it was called, but our major project, we got to choose from a whole variety of things. And one of the project options was to do a literacy history of ourselves and to talk to our families and research. How did we learn to read and write? What did that look like? And my family being who they are, my dad had shirt boxes for every grade level of my school years, full of my papers. And
That's so sweet.
Accomplishments. It was wonderful. So I got permission from the professor. Instead of writing a paper, I made a scrapbook of my own literacy journey from birth until college. And I still have it because it's just such a neat treasure that I made. But that in-depth study really was a turning point for me as far as the love of teaching literacy, of teaching language arts. And so then I became a homeschool mom, surprisingly, after teaching in the public schools. And I just really started to understand through that, that language arts unlocks the rest of learning. They're the keys. The reading and writing are the keys that help us to, you know, explore new worlds, learn new things, help students to find their voice and speak through writing. And so I found that when students have those core skills and positive experiences, I'm going to focus on that, that's where the joy comes in. If they have the core skills, but it's all very negative, it's not going to be as fruitful. But if they have positive experiences with language and core skills, then they can do anything. They can, whenever God reveals to them what path their life should take, they can follow that path because science and history and math and, you know, everything is done through language. So I'm really, as you can tell, passionate in particular about language arts. In our homeschooling, we've focused as much as possible on literature-based learning and doing kind of a writer's workshop. It hasn't worked well for each of my kids, so I tweak that when needed because every kid is so totally different. Yes. But my daughter, you know, unbeknownst to me, declared a major in English before I realized that's what she was doing in college. So she must have done well with that. My son even tells me that he can write way better than his other STEM peers. And so, and I don't take credit for that necessarily, except for the fact that I know my focus in teaching them was always the love of it, was the love of books, the love of writing, the love of all of those components that go together to help us communicate and learn about the world.
Wow.
Wow. A lot.
No, I love it because when I hear somebody really in that kind of a flow, the passion for something, you hear so much. I mean, I keep reflecting on those boxes that your dad kept, but also the gesture of confident hope that was kind of expressed in your mother kind of pre-binding those blank books and just expecting her children to have wonderful things to fill them up with. And here's your enthusiasm, right? So every mother's going to be different. The moms listening don't have to go and bind books and lay them around, right? It's God's going to inspire you in your own way. So in that place of joy, we understand kind of, we can all look back on what ignited our enthusiasm for whatever it is that we're enthusiastic for. But you touched on something so important, which is that we pass along just about everything through language. Obviously, there's touch and there's facial expressions and all of that. But when it comes right down to it, especially increasingly as there's so much isolation and separation in the world, language becomes incredibly important. But what are some of the different kind of subcategories that we're talking about with English language arts?
Right. So when we look at it, academically, right? Whether we're homeschooling or otherwise, there's a whole bunch that goes into English language arts. It's this big package. Most educators will divide it into four categories: speaking, listening, reading, and writing. But within those, there's subcategories as well, which is where it gets, quite frankly, overwhelming. Both as a former English teacher, if you've ever, you know, had an English teacher, there's so much that has to be taught, and as a homeschool mom, because it's layer upon layer upon layer, right? Reading involves letter formation and phonics and phonemic awareness. And it involves learning to read and developing fluency and comprehension, and then eventually literary analysis and taking the literature aspect. Writing has all these different parts to it. It includes handwriting, because we want them to be legible. Even keyboarding these days, you know, is part of writing, because typing is so crucial. Spelling, grammar, vocabulary, composition, all of those things fit within the category of writing. And as teachers, homeschool or otherwise, we have to figure out, how do we fit all of that in, right? And it seems like a lot, and it can be overwhelming, but it's all there for a reason, right? Like you said, every aspect of language leads us somewhere. It teaches us something and guides us in some way. And the one thing that I think is key to remember for myself and other moms who are just overwhelmed by all the many things that language arts incorporates is that every child has different needs within each of those areas as well, and different gifts already in various areas. And you'll rarely find a child who is weak in all of those areas. You know, severe learning disabilities, maybe. But most kids, you can look at all those areas and you can find some strengths and some struggles. And so it is possible to adapt whatever you're doing, especially in a homeschooling environment, right? We can adapt to their needs. It's one of the great opportunities of homeschooling. Takes some work from, you know, figuring it out in the beginning, but we can take each of those areas and teach how we need to teach. Maybe one child needs something very specific, intensive, takes a lot longer to learn to read, but then that child's great at handwriting and you don't even really have to practice that much because they just came out with beautiful letters. I don't have one of those, but I'd like to. There's a lot, but it's something that once we look at the different pieces and break them down a little bit, it can be less overwhelming.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And so I want to talk about that after the break, about kind of simplifying and maybe breaking it down a little bit. But can you just give us a window into just say a little bit more about that this teaching feels like we're doing it all at once. Mm-hmm. Is that necessary for it to feel that way? Why do we kind of have to come at this in a more holistic way?
Well, I think that in a traditional classroom setting, they are mostly teaching all of these things at once, or at least really close together within a week, right? Touching on all the different aspects. And they have to, because all of their students have different strengths and struggles, and they need to accommodate that. And if they left, you know, something out, then someone would be behind. Or if they didn't include something, they would be ahead. But when we have the homeschooling environment, we do need to consider all of those areas, but we don't have to teach them all the exact same time. We can let them build on each other. We can kind of start slow. We can assess where our kids are, add things in, let them take turns. Eventually, you know, in a high school student, they're going to be doing all of the things. But if we start out in kindergarten trying to do all of the things, we're both going to crash and burn, right? So I talk to a lot of moms who are overwhelmed by all the English language arts options or all the English language arts components, and they're doing, you know, 10 different things in first grade. And there are ways to get past that. But the key is to remember, just it's not necessary to do them all at once at first. It's a ladder that we're climbing up, or stairs that we're building, skill by skill by skill. And as I said before, the absolute key is those positive experiences. So making sure the things that we do in the early years before kindergarten and, you know, beyond are positive experiences. Find out what ignites our children's wonder and joy in stories, and how they how they are receptive to, whether they're learning to read or not, the different aspects of language arts. Not to exclude the speaking and listening, right? You all have that child who can talk and talk and talk and talk, but doesn't want to read a page. That's a beautiful thing. And we can translate that into skill as they develop and grow. So keeping that joy, keeping that, the priority of it being a positive experience, helps that overwhelm and helps us remember to take it slow.
I love that. I think that's going to be our recurring theme. Okay, so we're going to take a quick sponsor break, everybody. Our wonderful friends at Homeschool Connections are the reason this show exists, and it's all about serving you. We hope you'll stick around. We're going to take this just short break from talking with Jenny Bales and about juggling language arts with joy, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now back to our program.
All right, we're back with Jenny Bales, and we're talking about juggling language arts with joy, which is very cool. Talk a little about, because you were just saying before the break, Jenny, about there's a lot of different subcategories, right? And we can notice our own children, respond to them and call out their gifts and kind of work with it all. They'll get there, right? It will all get integrated at some point. But could you talk to us about simplifying how we teach this stuff, just so that we're not stuck in overwhelm?
Right. Definitely. I think that dividing those subjects up into little parts, you know, language arts up into the little different parts, can help us to think it through. So I will add that for your listeners, for all listeners, I created a handout for this because this is how my brain works, to subdivide the process. So if you go to heartofamother.net/language arts, all one word, language arts, there's a handout called Simplifying Language Arts. And I took the four categories of language arts, speaking, listening, reading, and writing, and kind of created a flow from birth to high school as what skills, what elements that would come into play, not what curriculum to use or not what, where to plug in, you know, plug and play, because every kid is going to need something different, but just so you can see visually what it is we're trying to accomplish. And I did also split writing into content and mechanics, because I think they're two different things. And I'll explain that in a second. But the reason that I put together that handout is because of this question. How do you simplify teaching all of these things to all of your kids? More than one, right? And how can you make that work? And I think first you have to have an awareness of the journey, of where we're going. The fact that we are homeschooling means we can tailor to the needs of our kids, to the needs of our family, to mom's needs in whatever season we're in. That's super important to keep the joy, is that mom's needs are considered. But once you can kind of see that pathway and see what you're trying to accomplish, I think that you can apply some key techniques to making it easier to teach all of these things. And those there, I have three for you today. The first one I've already mentioned, which is slow down. This is one of the approaches that I've taken, and it's really helped, is that I've just done one thing at a time and delayed introducing things like spelling and grammar until later, right? I have delayed introducing some of the more formal aspects of writing until later, because when I've done that, in my experience, my kids have learned faster because they're more developmentally ready for that information. Wow. And I'm not teaching them to write a sentence as a kindergartner because they're not ready for that. So making sure they have the solid foundation in the beginning is the best way to ensure future success. So slowing it down, not panicking, you know, then when you're brand new, you want to do all the things right. And I know we hold on to that so tightly. I need to make sure I do it all correctly. There are many ways to do it correctly. So that's my first tip, is to slow down. And hopefully the handout will help you see where you can do that. Second tip is to combine your kids when you can, and combine subjects when you can within language arts. So the thing with combining kids is that there's two kinds of teaching. There's content teaching and there's skill teaching, right? So skill is like math and content is like history. So you're just teaching them about something, that's the content. If you're teaching them how to do something, that's the skill. That's kind of how I divide that. When you combine kids, you should and can combine content. So with language arts, that means you're going to combine like reading aloud to them and the literature discussions that you're having. You're going to combine listening to great stories or speeches or music. You're going to combine speaking and sharing and narrating different things. You can combine some of those things among kids to make it easier on mom, right? You don't have to pick a different, you know, a different literature study for every single grade level. You can be like, let's all read this book and discuss it. And that can simplify things. On the writing aspect, you can do this a lot with creative writing and some more formal writing as they get older, where, you know, maybe a fourth grader is writing a descriptive paragraph about a banana and a high schooler is writing a descriptive paragraph about an event that they attended, right? And so you can, because the content is variable, you can do that with a wide range of kids. If you're trying to combine skill-based things like phonics and learning to read or grammar and spelling, you need to make sure your kids are really close in skill ability, which usually means age or developmental age to do that. So it's possible if you have kids that are really close in age, you could do that. But if they're not close in age and ability, then that's not the place to combine, if that makes sense. But you can still combine things like reading comprehension and speaking with narration. So read that, come tell me about it. They're speaking and they're telling you the comprehension. You can combine grammar, spelling, and handwriting with copy work and have kids copy things out. There's lots of great options like that, tools for that, where you can kind of combine a few things together. And I highly suggest that. So that's number two, is combine where you can. And then number three is take turns. This is a little different than slow down, but it's okay to do one thing at a time. So for example, when my kids are in that, you know, third, fourth, fifth grade range, and I'm introducing things like spelling and grammar, I don't do them both at the same time. I'll do maybe spelling in the fall and grammar in the spring, or we'll do a month of spelling and a month of grammar to trade it off. They don't have to do it both in the same day or both in the same week. You can trade off and slow that down. And that can release the burden a little bit on everybody, to where you can still keep the joy of learning all these new things and applying these new skills to your reading and writing. But taking turns, doing one thing at a time can relieve that pressure, right? Relieve that overwhelm and keep it joyful.
I love that. I can't tell you how many just creative thoughts I had while I was listening to you. Just that flexibility, taking the unnecessary fear and dread and stress and overwhelm out of it. And part of that was what you were talking about at the beginning, that ability to pause, to let God pour the joy in, to take some of the fear and dread out of our own experience. As you said, the mother has to take care of herself so that she can be joyful in homeschooling and not trying to hold us to some false image of perfection, which you've made very clear. You know, I remember when I first started homeschooling, I finally convinced my husband we took our daughter out of public school, where all sorts of bad, you know, lessons were being taught in our particular program. And so what did I do? I had her sitting at our table during school hours. We started with the Pledge of Allegiance. We did everything like school at first. And before I knew it, we were both in tears. And so it, you know, it was from talking to other moms. It was getting on the phone with someone like you, a homeschool consultant, coach, you know, and discussing it and realize there's so much freedom to just be ourselves in this and to be learning as we go, even as home educators. I'll let you respond to that. And then I have a particular question I know some of the moms have in their minds.
Sure.
Next. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sometimes we look at the flexibility of homeschooling with fear, because we think that that's unknown, right? It's the fear of the unknown. It's like, what would that look like? Being flexible means not only do we have to figure it out and make all the decisions, it's all up to us, but there aren't any guarantees. And there's no guarantees also if we stick to the plan and we sit at the table and we do the school the way it's always been done too. So I think that finding freedom in that flexibility and confidence in that flexibility does take time. We have to kind of see it in our own homes and see it bear fruit, because we can definitely go too far on the flexible, you know, end of things and you know, have that attitude, oh, they'll teach themselves to read whenever they figure it out. Or, you know, we have a responsibility and obligation to be active in our children's education in some way. But if we don't also take advantage of the freedom that we've been given or the flexibility through this gift of homeschooling, we're kind of missing those opportunities. We're missing out on being able to connect with our kids, being able to keep it positive and have them continue to have that joyful relationship with learning and that wonder that God gave them about the world around them and learning new things. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to look at that flexibility, and sometimes it's baby steps, right? Dip our toe in the water to make a little change here, make a little change there so that we can still feel safe and secure. But that leap of faith of making homeschooling work for your unique family is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just, I see it all the time in friends, in women that I coach. It's just a beautiful thing to watch take flight.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're saying there, because there is a self-discovery that's happening. Who is our family? What's most important to us? And how that becomes sort of the background music, our values, our particular interests and gifts. And a lot of people do take their kids out of regular school experiences and homeschool because those kids have special challenges as well. And I know you see a lot of that, because there are a lot of those families in our communities, and they're beautiful families, and they're doing really unique and personal things for those children. So you say a little bit about who are those students that really are struggling to read or to write.
Right. Well, I think it's really important to come at language arts when children are struggling with a very big focus on not catching up, not trying to get them back to grade level or whatever you might think, or even similar in comparison to their peers or their siblings, right? Because kids who are struggling for a reason. And usually it's because God just made their brains a little differently. And you can't just like change, you can't change that. And so to work with their skills and abilities and to help them through that is a challenging thing, but it's also a really great thing that we can do. So as you said, many families are choosing to homeschool because of that. It's a fact that 1 in 5 people in the world have some form of dyslexia, struggle reading, and we all don't even know it, right? Because we compensate and we mask it and we figure it out. But the key thing with kids who are struggling is don't wait to make a change. That's always my advice. So as you mentioned, specifically parents pulling their kids and bringing them home, that's a beautiful thing, right? It may not be the right thing for everybody, but if that's the change you've made, embrace it, run with it. If you're homeschooling and you start to notice that your kids are struggling with language arts, reading or writing, listen to that gut feeling of so many moms who are just like, well, I feel like there's something not right here. And then they trudge on and they pursue this because this is the best reading curriculum out there. When their gut tells them that there's something not right here, this kid can't figure this out, trust that instinct. That's your mom instinct. And make a change. Seek out help, find more dyslexic friendly material. Even if your kid isn't actually, you're thinking dyslexic or something like that, those materials that are designed for dyslexic kids can help any kid who's struggling a little bit because they just have a different way of approaching things.
Yeah.
Those who struggle with writing too might need additional help. Although respecting a child's natural development means that most kids and their fine motor skills aren't really well developed until 3rd or 4th grade. So, you know, give them time, but if you really notice, you know, stuff going on, then do some research and figure out what could help them in this area. I will add that all the different elements of language arts, all the different subject areas and the strengths and weaknesses of different kids our why, and all-in-one language arts curriculum rarely work. And lots of moms come to me with this struggle. I did this program or I did that program, and it's all in one. And they say, you know, it's great. And my kid can't do X, Y, Z. Because English language arts is part content, part skill. It's reading, it's writing, it's speaking, it's listening. And so kids are going to advance at different paces in each of those areas. And so if you're doing kind of the all in one, cover it all at third grade, your kid's not going to be at a third grade level in all of those areas. That's natural. And you're seeing what a classroom teacher has to overlook because they have 30 kids in a room. But if you see that as a mom and you want to accommodate that, then adjust, right? Homeschooling, as we said, is this opportunity to customize the learning and the curriculum and meet students where they are. So trust your gut if you feel like they're struggling. It's more common than we realize or than we'd like to admit that kids really do need a certain pathway to learning language arts. And know that it can be beautiful too, because you're teaching them to overcome, right? Which is something as Christians we're going to have to do our entire lives, right? Is, okay, I have this struggle. How do I overcome this? And you're walking your child through that struggle and modeling for them the way to overcome it. You get the resources you need. You take the steps that you need towards improvement, and you persevere and you do the hard work with joy.
Mm, so. I love that. And at its core too, the mom who is really noticing and seeing her child in an appreciative way and not an afraid way or a judging way, but kind of going, I'm curious. There looks like there's a struggle there. What we're honoring is the uniqueness and the unrepeatableness, right, of our children's souls, of their purposes in life. And so we're not trying to create a judgy pass-fail environment. We're curious and we're learning together and we're creating that foundation of joyful exploration and learning. And as you said, overcoming of obstacles. It becomes, again, a together thing. We're on the same side thing. Can you tell us a little bit too about, I know a lot of people end up putting their children in school around high school because a lot of things can get really challenging, but probably just as many families are homeschooling in high school. I know loads of families who did all the way through. We did till our daughter went to college. Could you say a little bit about the special maybe challenges or whatever insights would be most helpful to those who are approaching high school or in the thick of it?
Right. I think that in many ways, homeschooling high school is easier and can be easier than the rest of it.
Wow.
Because there's so many resources out there today for educating our kids. We have so many options, right? And many options in elementary and middle school too. But with high school, there's many options for approaching that, whether it be online classes or dual enrollment classes or local classes or at-home classes, mom classes, that we can give them the opportunity to choose and follow the paths that they want to embrace as adults. We're kind of helping them find their way into adulthood, like you said, helping them figure out who they are in this world and what they want to become. And language arts, English, is a perfect way to do this in high school, because if you go to any high school or you look at any college admission requirements for language arts, English, they want 4 years of, wait for it, English. It doesn't say if it's literature or composition or ancient literature or modern literature or science fiction or romance novels. It doesn't, it's just English. It's just 4 years of English. So you can really, this is the golden time where you can let your kid figure out what they want to read.
Wow.
You can find resources that help them explore all kinds of things with reading and writing. And I mean, obviously, I'm going to say you need to do reading and writing. You can't completely have them not do any writing or not any reading. It's got to include both. Yeah. But you have a lot of freedom, and you can help your children tailor that to their own needs and their preferences. You know, prepare them for college writing if you think they're heading that way. Prepare them for technical writing either way, college or not. Make sure they're doing literary analysis. My favorite part about language arts in high school that makes it, I think, so much so enjoyable is the conversations, right? This is speaking and listening. This is big conversations, whether we're debating or we're educating or we're just having a fun conversation. those teens say the darndest things. It's amazing. And it's entertaining. And so to lean into that and to know that's part of their education is when they're having those big conversations with you about the world and about what they've seen and heard and experienced. That's part of speaking and listening. That's part of their development. And so, you know, in the language arts sphere, that's my example of why it's kind of easier in some ways to homeschool high school, because if you've been doing it for a while and you've been, or not, but if you have been homeschooling for a while and you're feeling like high school is this big, daunting, scary thing, I just remember my daughter's words when we were getting her ready for high school. She's my oldest. And I thought that because I had done this eclectic style of homeschooling all the way through K through eight, she was like in seventh grade when we were having this conversation, but I thought, we're going to high school now. This is serious stuff. Wasn't serious before, apparently, but I was very intimidated. And I said, we need to pick a set curriculum that you're going to follow that's going to like really prepare you for college. And we looked at all the options and I showed her all the options that I had already, you know, kind of narrowed down and said, what do you think would be best? And her words, she said to me, well, Mom, what have we been doing all along? I'm like, well, we call it eclectic. I just pulled together curriculum. And she's like, was that not good enough? Do I not know what I need to know? Was that not okay? I was like, no, you're great. You're advanced for, you know, where you are in some areas. I'm really proud of where you are learning, and you're definitely on grade level in many areas. And, you know, you have your struggles, but you're fine. And she's like, then why can't we keep doing what we've been doing? And I was like, oh, well. And I always come back to that. Why can't we keep doing what we've been doing if it's been working? Right. I think was what she said after. Like, if it's working, then why are we going to stop doing that? Why do we have to make high school something completely different? And so we didn't.
Wonderful.
We made high school just like the rest of our learning journey together. And it turned out beautifully, I think.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I'm sort of listening with the ears of the different moms with their different talents and their different kids with their different inclinations out there. Like, you and I both love to write and read. And so it was natural for us to pass on that joy. But like, I was terrible at doing science with my daughter. Terrible. I would start and stop, and I was like, we would make a mess or whatever. And I had no way of following up. I was terrible at science labs and things like that in college and in high school and college. And so it was just always a flop. And my daughter ended up dual enrolling, but she had really good language. She had a good affinity for math, but she was able to learn. Like, she still emerged into her dual enrollment with her love of learning intact. And mm-hmm. she ended up at the community college doing chemistry and getting straight A's and tutoring some of the kind of disadvantaged adults that were in her class at the community college, tutoring them. So to help them pass. And mm-hmm. she was just a learner, right? So she got lousy science education at home, a few like co-op-y labs that were good and all that. It kept her interest going. And she always has kind of liked it. But I just want to just say to everyone listening, the joy. We're here about the joy. Yes, Jenny has this great handout, Simplifying Language Arts at heartofamother.net. It's in the show notes, /language arts. Want to make sure you take that away and come back for that. But the point just being that being in that place of noticing your child and the uniqueness of your child and doing what you can and having a plan that's also a living plan. I love that that's so much a part of what you've been saying, Jenny. Where would you like to leave us as we're wrapping up today?
I think I want to speak to those mamas who don't love language arts, like you just implied. Maybe you love science. I don't. Like Lisa said, we're not the science people over here. I do have a son, however, who is, at least one. But if you don't love language arts and you love science, then read and write about science. If you love history or you love math, read and write about math. I have one child who's really, really intrigued by all the different complicated math things that I don't even really understand. He's young, but he wants to read about Fibonacci and those kinds of things, right?
Wonderful.
The crazy things.
So cool.
Embrace what you love and pass that along, and let language arts be a part of that, because that's where, as Lisa said, the love of learning will serve your children really, really well, and you'll prepare them to learn whatever it is they need for wherever God leads them.
Amen. Hear that and let that settle into your hearts, friends. So important. And we all discover it all along the way. We may not have been super affirmed growing up in our own learning, in our own gifts. And so we have to ask for healing in those places and give ourselves grace. But do turn to other moms. Turn to Jenny's wonderful heartofamother.net. Her community is so supportive, and her consulting, bloomhomeschooling.com. But just be aware we're all on the journey together, and it all matters. And I, as God said to me this morning in my prayer, you exist because I love you. And so he has a beautiful plan for you and your children. And Jenny, I just can't thank you enough. Always go to such beautiful places when we talk together.
We do. Thank you for having me back, Lisa.
Oh, it's a joy. All right, everyone. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. We are praying for you. Please pray for us too, and have a sweet day in the Lord. Bye now. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.